in demand for paramedics and a 35% increase in 911 calls. Increased traffic congestion from RV campground will increase the response time of our responders, creating potentially life-threatening events. Secondly, increased traffic congestion is a risk to our students, teachers, parents entering and exiting local schools, and to those traveling on buses over these same rural two-lane roads. Third, emergency evacuations will be compromised by the proposed campground, having only one entrance and one exit. Connecting the RV campground to the West Rehoboth Sewer System District further reduces the useful lifetime of that system. I'd like to bring Jim up.
Thank you, Paul. As Paul said, my name is Jim Schneider. I live at 20601 Annandale Drive in Lewis. It's part of the Hearts Landing community, and I am the vice president of the Hearts Landing Homeowners Association. We are opposed to the Jack Lingo asset management application due to our concerns about safety risk and demands on the infrastructure services that will result from the proposed RV resort and campground project. We've heard about traffic and inconvenience it will cause, but traffic congestion could be life-threatening. Traffic congestion will dramatically affect the response time for our police, EMS, and firefighters. Ultimately, it will require an increase in these services at more cost to the county. An overwhelming majority of residents in the eight surrounding communities, consisting of about 1,100 homes, are opposed to this development. If approved, this campground will add 628 living spaces, which is over a 50% increase to the existing communities. Think about that. One single resort, 628, over 50% to what's already there in the eight surrounding communities. People living in this proposed resort could total greater than 2,500 people, which is about the population of Lewis, which already requires its own police, fire, and EMS services. The stress on our infrastructure and roads will be dramatic, overwhelming with the addition of this resort. If one looks to the future, the county has already approved 9 additional communities, totaling about 1,400 building lots. The stress on our services will be exorbitant once all these other communities are developed. Over the last 10 years in Sussex County, as Paul said, there has been a 15% increase in demand for paramedics and a 35% increase in 911 calls. With the Lewis-Rehoboth area being the fastest growing in the county, I'm sure the demand in the Lewis area has been much higher. As noted in prior presentations, the web of surrounding small and narrow country roads will increase the likelihood of more accidents from RV traffic. Furthermore, with the increase of likely traffic congestion from greater beach and shopping travel, there will be an increase in people trying to make turns that will result in more traffic accidents. There is also a growing likelihood that drivers will cut through neighborhoods like Sandy Bray, and present more safety issues to their residents. When this resort is operating in the high-demand summer season, it should be noted that twice as many EMS calls occur than during other times of the year. The impact on our infrastructure services will be an increase in the number of responses and, more importantly, longer response times for police and EMT personnel. Also, with the increase in traffic congestion, the results can only be a serious impediment to the response time for our voluntary fire departments. The risk to our citizens and vacationers will be increased, and no doubt more injuries and fatalities will be the inevitable result. From a personal experience, I know that Hearts Landing has had 2 houses burn completely to the ground in the last year and a half. Fire company did everything they could to put out those fires and to keep other houses from catching fire. However, I also know that if the fire department had been delayed due to increased traffic, an adjacent house would have also caught fire since the siding on that adjacent house was almost completely melted in one of the fires. Having campfires in a campground is a popular thing to do. Most of the surrounding communities have a ban on open fires, but if open fires are allowed in this campground with such a dense population, it will only increase the risk of fire in that area and the threat to the surrounding population. Additionally, if there is a fire, there is only one entrance and exit to the resort community, creating a bottleneck for fire trucks to enter and vacationers to leave. Another safety issue concerns the months of the operation of the proposed development and the impact on our school children. This RV resort will be open for 4.5 months when our schools are open. We are concerned that the increased traffic threatens the safety of our students, teachers, parents, and staff entering and exiting Beacon Middle School on Route 24. School buses stop and pick up students from all of our communities on all these back roads. And the increase in huge RVs and the related traffic traveling on these back roads gives us safety concerns. Many people in our communities like to enjoy riding their bicycles on the back roads in the area. But these narrow roads have no bike lanes, and the increased traffic and large RVs will put their safety at risk. The population of the Lewis-Rehoboth area increases dramatically by over 50% during the summer months, which is not news to any of us. Putting in an RV campground off many back roads will compound the difficulty in evacuations in case of emergencies such as hurricanes. The proposed campground has only one entrance exit point, and we worry what will happen if the campground needs to evacuate large RVs quickly through that one exit. Once they hit the roads, these large vehicles could easily back up and clog the smaller back roads, creating a safety hazard for the entire area's population. In conclusion, we strongly feel that this large and densely populated resort is out of character with the surrounding area and presents a dangerous safety issue for all of our residents as well as visitors. Further, as stated, it will increase the stress, particularly in peak seasonal months, on our voluntary firemen, our emergency medical technicians, and the police that support our communities. We ask that you oppose the requested zoning and conditional use changes that would let this development proceed. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. The next area we'd like to cover is what we call an RV market analysis impact, and that'll be given by Denny Fisher. Several points again to note. First, there are approximately 4,000 RV sites within a 10 to 20 mile radius, most of which have availability. Rehoboth Shores was recently approved an additional 367 RV sites, and an application for another 575 sites is pending before planning and zoning. In the event of another major coastal storm, such as we experienced last summer, the major evacuation route for the proposed RV campgrounds would lead RVs and campers to the two-lane Route 24, which will cause massive traffic congestions and potentially deadly consequences. Benny?
Hello. My name is Dennis Fisher, and my wife and I live at 32. Let's see. That's right.
Are you?
Excuse me. Do I know where I live now?
Yeah, we're not sure if you even know who you are.
34751 Harburg Drive. And that's in the retreat of Love Creek. Mary and I have been avid campers and RVers for many years. We made a lot of friends and a lot of memories at the RV campgrounds that will last us a lifetime. So we're not against RVers and we're not against RV parks. But we believe that the one proposed along Love Creek is in the wrong place. In the area map, as you show over there, I demonstrate that it's incompatible with the location, that it's unsuitable density of this park to the surrounding residential subdivisions. And I show that with the light blue areas being the existing subdivisions, which people have been talking about. And the dark blue areas are the approved subdivisions, whether or not they'll be built on. Actually, some of them are being advertised at this time. And the green grid is the entire zone parcel of this project. And then there's the red area, which they've been outlining. And you'll see that this is part of the parcel of the RV resort and campground. So the green checkered area is the entire area. The red part is what they're talking about now. The colors show it all. The campground is encompassed by residential area. And if you take a look at the density then, you can understand that this should be city borough or RV city borough because it becomes a city. Actually, when it's full, if you take the number of people that could be in there, this would rank in your top 10 cities of Sussex County. And it's right in residential area. The comprehensive plan had it right. To begin with, when it was zoned residential. Traditionally, you do not find RV parks in residential areas. They are located in rural or sparsely populated areas. This is how Holly Lakes, Big Oaks, Sierre started out, with fields and forests surrounding their location over 40 years ago. Subdivisions grew up around them. When the new homeowners came to those areas, they had a choice to move next to an RV park. We, nearby residents, do not have that choice. Our area was classified as residential. We made our decisions to buy here, to come here, because it was residential. This would be the first RV park recently that would be built in a residential area. We noticed the developer's proposal referenced only one letter claiming that there is an extreme lack of RV sites available at Holly Lake. We thought a survey of the existing RV campgrounds would be appropriate. So we conducted the best survey possible, realizing that it's winter and some of the parks are closed. We gathered information from the websites, brochures, site visits, and interviews with representatives of 18 parks in a 20-mile radius. I'm sorry that the audience can't see this. But little cute RV there is where RV Park is going to be built. And those are the other 18 sites that we visited.
RV sites or mobile home sites?
Well, that's the interesting thing. They really started out as RV sites. Most of them are RVs. Some have park homes. Some have mobile manufactured homes.
Full-time residents?
Some do have full-time residents. That is correct.
Okay.
As an offshoot, what usually ends up happening when guests goes to $4 or $5, and that RV then takes a look at 5 to 9 miles per gallon. I had one that was a great gas eater. I guess to probably support another family with it. But you'll end up having the people that come to those parks go down. And then you say to yourself, okay, what am I going to do with that extra revenue that I've just lost? Well, what do? You put it in a manufactured home. And most of them, if you do take a run around, you'll end up seeing that they are that kind of scenario.
Are you saying they're not peace-loving people? They're not good people?
Not at all, sir.
Are you saying they just got enough money to get where they're going and that's the end of it?
I'm saying that people end up making the decision of on a business level of people running these parks. And I believe that they end up saying to themselves, okay, how am I going to make up the revenue when that RV doesn't show up?
Yeah.
when I park my RV and I couldn't end up affording to run it.
We're not going. He'll come back for rezoning again, right? And we have to go through all this again for to put in a mobile home.
You're reading my mail.
That's it. That's it, Sam. You got it.
I mean, I don't see. I don't see the point. Go ahead.
Okay. We noticed the developer's proposal referenced. Let me get back on key here. So we conducted the best survey possible, realizing that the winter, that it was winter, and that some of the parks are closed. So we gathered all that information. Our best estimate is that there's over 5,000 available RV sites, with more than half available for transit visitors. We asked the campgrounds, which were, if they were full. Only one park indicated that they were full, and that was Smith's Landing. All the others had available spaces. The closest park to the proposed site, Holly Lakes, with over 950 sites, stated that they had plenty of available spaces year-round, except a few brief periods during the summer holidays and peak months of July and August. And even then, they were fine except for late transients who wanted just a short stay without a reservation. The same was true of Cape Henlopen, Delaware, Seashore State Park, and Jellystone Campground. And already, there's more capacity that's going to be on the way, 260 approved campsites at Rehoboth Shores. And in 2 years, the Delaware Seashore State Park will be renovating the construction area taken over by the Indian River Inlet Bridge repair area with 75 RV sites. If the Massey's Landing files an application, which appears to be happening, but not to you yet, and if that's approved, that's another additional 570 sites on water. This could be the total sites would be over 6,000. There's a direct correlation between the parks that fill up first and their location near deep water marinas for launching boats and water sports. The Love Creek site does not have the amenity. It is questionable that even a kayak could be launched from a dock there on a regular basis. And I live on Love Creek, I know it is shallow. And at low tide, it is tough.
Would you swim in it?
I wouldn't swim in it. Where we would end up having access, I think it was pointed out, you'd need waders to get in there.
If it were deeper, in a deeper part of it. I just want to know the condition of the creek.
Is the water clean, or is it clean?
I would say it'd be your traditional murky water. Would I worry about going in there or swimming or if I fell in it? No.
As I'm listening here, you're sort of contradicting what the last spokesman here said. He says he would be in favor of other homes coming in because they'd be slower populating it and we give them time for infrastructure. According to what you're saying here, this is going to be very slow. We're going to be lucky to even fill this thing half full or a third full. The traffic's going to be really down to nothing. That's what you're saying. Isn't that what I understand you're saying here?
No, not at all.
Aren't you saying that we don't really need this because they got all these other parks? They're not going to really be coming in here? Isn't that what I understood him to say?
We have all these parks. My question
didn't
is
you say
this.
That? Didn't you say we have all these other parks and they're not none of them full and they're not and this business is going to be kind of slow here? Isn't that what your argument is?
No, not at all.
Okay. Keep on.
Now, I think my point is that you have a lot of capacity out there. Who did the research? This is what they say. They found a need. Where did they find the need? Where did they do the research? Who did they get it from? Who did the shoe leather out there? Who did they talk to? That's what I'm questioning.
Mm-hmm. I think you're still saying what I just said.
Okay. The Love Creek, it was noted by other people in here that talked about the traffic that the park would require long distance on local roads. I had a 32-footer, and I did tow a vehicle behind it, and I can attest that the roads, and I did have it serviced at Coastal Towing, it's tough. And if you do run across those roads, yes, a 5-foot shoulder probably would be very helpful. But when you have people coming at you in the other direction that are large, it is scary, and you got to move over. We don't believe that the current road width is accommodating, and we're glad to hear that they would do that. But we understand that this proposal will only happen after the first 200 units were built on the site. Given the planning density of the property, We don't think that the developer has considered the safety of visitors or area residents in an event of an emergency or an evacuation. One major storm that requires an evacuation of Lewis and Rehoboth will create a mammoth traffic jam that would be dangerous and possibly deadly. With only one exit, an evacuation would put all traffic to Mulberry Knoll, to Plantation Road, and to connect to an already overly congested two-lane highway on Route 4. The developer has a tiki bar right at the point of Love Creek, and some residents were concerned about noise pollution. Interesting enough, the Castaways Campground in Ocean City, Maryland, says on their website, the tiki bar is prone to more noise and traffic. If you wanted to be quieter, get another site. Finally, we like to bring up a fact that some RV park owners may not like to admit. During our survey, and we went through all the campgrounds, we found too many that had become eyesores. I'm not sure why so many of these RVs, trailers on the property looked as ill-repaired, shabby, or in some cases not well taken care of. This may be due to the time of year, maybe due to because they were stored on that particular site for years instead of being moved to a storage area. The proposal states that RVs would be stored on site and in storage areas. We worry that the RV stored on site at this park would deteriorate in the same way as others have. For nearby residents who have devoted their nest egg to buy homes in the new county subdivisions that adhere to current zoning regulations, the prospects of an aging RV park in their midst is another distressing fact about this proposed project. We would be remiss if we left out the rest of the story. What does the future hold for the balance of the property? The campground was first posed as 400 sites on an entire plot of 319 acres. If the conditional rezoning is approved, the developer could do whatever he likes with the balance. This could mean that RVs or manufactured homes would be in open fields. So we ask you to reject Lingo Asset Management zoning and land use changes for an RV campground that will be located on narrow country roads within a few miles of two other campgrounds that have availability and on a sensitive area creek which cannot support a marina or deep water access. Your decisions today will be with us forever and leave us an opening for more of the same at the Love Creek site in the future. The costs are going to be high for Sussex County, and the burden on taxes will be laid at our feet. I ask you to vote against the amending the rezoning and against the conditional use of the land of the Love Creek RV Resort and Campground. And I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome.
The next topic we'd like to address is the economic analysis and the impact. That'll be given by Mr. Greg Cordell. The RV campground is not consistent with the county's major revenue sources, annual property taxes and realty transfer tax. If approved, the RV campground will significantly lower both annual revenue streams as well as one-time transfer tax revenues to Sussex County to up to approximately $5 million. The RV campground requires infrastructure capital investments by the county without paying for its fair share of those costs. And finally, support for the health and safety of the RV campground visitors will further stress the demands on public service and create costs to the county budget. Greg?
Thank you. And before you start speaking, we've had several speakers speaking on different subjects, but then during their discussions, they also kept bringing up the traffic issue, which obviously is a very important issue, but everybody's touched on it at this point. So if you can avoid being repetitive on that issue, I'd appreciate it. Very good. You're the number man.
Just the numbers. My script says good afternoon, but I should change that to good evening.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Greg Cordell, and my wife and I are homeowners at the Retreat at Love Creek. I have been employed over 40 years by major corporations, Squibb, Nabisco, and Kraft, among them, as a senior finance professional. At this time, I would like to present an economic outlook to Sussex County. For the comparative uses of the proposed RV park property. The information we will share is mainly sourced from your own 2013 county budget and the revenue comparison that was prepared by Gina Jennings, the incoming county finance director. I've provided each of you with a hard copy, which I will quickly take you through, emphasis on quickly, and there's also some supporting documents there so you can check my numbers. If you go to page 2, the study will conclude that the RV resort proposal is adverse to the Sussex County finances. We've mentioned that the county comprehensive plan for this area include low-density developments or tax-paying home sites. Realty transfer taxes and property taxes fund the majority of county general funds and capital investment. Importantly, the county's own study is conclusive, an RV campground is the wrong choice for this property. As you see on page 3, real estate in Sussex County has had a resurgence recently, as reported last week in the Cape Gazette. In addition to the clips I show on that chart, the story cited the following for 2012. Single-family home sales rose 18%, over 3,600 homes, over $1 billion in sales. $1 billion times 1.5% realty transfer tax, which goes to Sussex County, is $15 million. For Sussex County. And there was no mention of any RV campground revenues that helped drive your budget surplus. Just a few highlights as background regarding the county budget. The general fund and government capital categories support the robust paramedics program, fire police grants, and government building improvements, more than half funded by transfer tax, property tax. The other categories, enterprise spending and its capital, is focused almost totally on water sewer operations and new expanded sewer facilities, which require annual sewer assessment revenues, which single-family homes provide at a much greater rate than the RV site proposal, again, in the numbers provided by your county. Our observations of the county's analysis are shown on the fifth slide. The RV proposal delivers significantly lower revenues to the county versus single-family home development, $5 million less. However, it's $2 million less if on a comparative study that I'll show because we believe those housing numbers are inflated. The reason? The RV development generates no transfer tax revenues and a much lower property tax, both one-time and ongoing. The RV proposal does not pay its fair share for county investments for infrastructure. This RV city population will stress the public safety functions at the expense of current homeowners of Sussex County. Bottom line, the RV resort is not the best choice for this Love Creek corridor where optimum taxable development is planned. The chart on page 6 shows the revenue comparison that was provided by your county finance group. They compared the RV proposal to the 631 home site scenario, which was on that total 324-acre parcel. This home site option delivered a $5.3 million benefit to the county. However, to give you an apple-to-apples comparison, we show the revenue for that 315 home site development on the 162-acre property, which demonstrates over a $2 million benefit. Either way, the numbers say the proposal should be rejected by Sussex County. Again, on the numbers. The county director's analysis is limited to just an initial impact. Therefore, I have exhibited on page 7 that a 20-year cash flow delivers a cumulative benefit of $21 million or $9 million for the 631 and the 315 home site options, respectively, versus the RV park. Key factors, the ongoing benefit of property taxes, sewer fees, plus the recurring realty transfer tax for resale of homes, zero for RV sites. So in conclusion, the financial comparison is overwhelming. It demands a no vote opposing any change to zoning. The initial benefit of $2 million and $9 million over 20 years, and that is on that conservative estimate. A no vote is consistent with the county's comprehensive plan for low-density housing development in the area. There are options, and you can suggest that Lingo move the RV resort to a more suitable location, one that makes economic sense to the county and its taxpaying citizens. And I'd like to repeat a statement made by the applicant at the end of theirs, which I jotted down here. I hope I got it right. He said land use options should consider the economic impact to the county, and I hope that you do that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. The last speaker we have in this study that we have put together is the environmental impact, and that'll be given by Mr. Hollis Provins. First point is it's obvious to the developer that they missed, or it's obvious to us that the developer missed the intent behind most of the DENREC recommendation in the PLUS report. As we made a mention before earlier in the day, Ms. Schreider-Fox noted that I guess the proposal has changed, and I'm not sure what that proposal is. It seems like it's in flux. So it's hard for us to say based on what we saw today. But in terms of what was returned in the PLUS report, we feel that they ignored or missed most of those. The unique and sensitive nature of the whole property will be lost if the proposed high-density development goes through. Third, one of DENREC's stated objectives is to curtail deforestation, but this proposal runs counter to that goal. And perhaps most importantly, and cannot be dismissed, is that DENREC Secretary Colin O'Meara did state, and I quote, "We strongly believe that the site is worthy of permanent protection," end quote. Hollis?
Good afternoon. Hollis Provins. I live on Harbor Drive in Lewis. My wife and I are full-time residents of Lewis, Delaware. It is our belief that moving forward with the proposed RV Creek Resort campground would be detrimental to the community because of the unnecessary loss of critical forested wetland habitat. By way of background, I am a retired National Park Service park ranger and firefighter. I have a degree in wildlife biology. I became concerned about the proposed development after reading the developer's PLUS responses. It seemed obvious that the developer missed the intent behind most of DENREC's recommendations. I'd like to highlight a few of my concerns. The unique and sensitive nature of the whole property will be lost if the proposed high-density development goes through. The area, which is rich in small freshwater streams and seasonal Delmarva bays, will have its hydrology significantly changed to make way for dry sites and retention ponds. The uniqueness of this forested wetland has been noted by the Nature Conservancy and DENREC. Additionally, given its location adjacent to Tidal Love Creek, it is inevitable that sea level rise and storm events will significantly impact any development in this low-lying area. The small buffer proposed by the developer around Welsh's Pond will not protect the total sensitive area from hydrological damage and high-density abuse. Currently, a variety of significant plants and wildlife inhabit this type of forested wetland. Known on the site are the three state-identified species of concern, the eastern tiger salamander, the barking tree frog, and Cope's great tree frog, as mentioned earlier. The term concern is used because the state has no real mechanism for protection. None of these species can coexist with the proposed high-density development. The developer claims to attempt to keep tree removal to an absolute minimum, but the high-density site plan and the bulking nature of the recreational vehicle speak to a much different reality. Currently, a continuous tree canopy connects this property with a much larger ecosystem. Native creatures use this corridor as a means to maintain biodiversity and healthy populations. The trees are mostly small and will be easily removed or damaged by campers. The effect of the development will be to sterilize the area, making it free from all but what society generally calls nuisance species, raccoons, skunks, and the rat with a bushy tail. Additionally, weekend renters will have little respect for the property or that of the neighboring farmland. One of DENREC's stated objectives is to curtail deforestation. This proposal runs counter to that goal. In addition, the proposed development poses a threat to Love Creek because of sediment runoff. I'd like to point out that drained gravel roads such as those proposed need watering during dry periods. Large numbers of recreational vehicles produce significant amounts of dripping fluids and gray water. Gravel roads and parking paths will require herbicide weeding and mosquito control will make it necessary for a, quote, resort experience. None of these additional pollutants should be allowed to drain into Love Creek or the current freshwater habitat because of the potential to harm fish and wildlife. In the January 24th letter to Planning and Zoning Commission Chairman Robert Wheatley, DENREC Secretary Colin Omar states that DENREC strongly believes that the site is worthy of permanent protection. I'll break here. I know that's been repeated over and over again. I know he knew what he was talking about, not because just of Welsh's Pond, but because of the entire site itself. In the January 24th letter to PNZ Director Lawrence Lang, Delaware Nature Society's Executive Director Brian Winslow, quote, encourages the landowner to consider permanent preservation opportunities for the natural areas, end quote. I know that many other conservation agencies, those without an advocacy mandate, support similar preservation options. Last week, DENREC Sea Level Rise Advisory Council announced that up to 44% of Delaware state parks, wildlife areas, refuges, and conservation areas could be lost to sea level rise. This further emphasizes the importance of preserving any and all unique, special places such as this. My sincere hope is that you, as the elected officials of Sussex County, will act as protectors of this unique and fragile place. I urge you to reject the zoning and land use changes that will allow this environmentally destructive development to proceed. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
In conclusion, our coalition of homeowners believes that the presentations that were just presented will provide council with more information and facts to assist you in consideration of the issue before you. Our coalition of homeowners knows that there is going to be growth in Sussex County, and it's important. It's also a given expectation for citizens in our geographic location. However, we trust that you, as our elected officials, will take all factors into consideration that were presented today in making your decision. Is it in the best interest of the long-range growth of Sussex County to provide this highly dense, seasonal, transient population directly into established, planned, residential, single-family homes? Is it in the best interest of the current residents, as well as those future residents of already approved but undeveloped communities, to insert unplanned, highly concentrated population of individuals if it does not permanently improve the health, safety, order, and welfare of the county? In the end, does the council wish to maintain and promote the quality of life in Sussex County, or should it just the decision simply be to promote the quantity of life? As local taxpayers, residents, and voters, our coalition of homeowners asked you to vote against amending the Comprehensive Zoning Plan CZ-1725 and against granting conditional use of land for RV campground CU-1951. As requested by Jack Lingo Asset Management for their Love Creek RV Resort and Campground. This development is inconsistent with the surrounding community, would irreparably harm the natural environment, and is unfair to your constituents. Thank you for listening. If it's the council's pleasure, I would like to also invite other presenters from representing HOAs to address the council.
This is a public hearing. They can speak. We will be asking for anyone who wishes to speak, although I would caution that, you know, keep your remarks concise and on issues that have not been discussed up to this point. First, I would like, and maybe Lawrence and Robin can help, show of hands of all those in opposition to this project.
Keep them up.
You're going to need to keep them up if Robin and Lawrence can count.
Everett, on the opposition, these are new people. I don't know if you can limit them to block six.
If anyone in opposition, we say. I know, we've always said that.
I know, but you. Well, okay. Look.
One hand, please.
I don't know if you can do that.
One hand, please. Look.
I got a good call. Of course.
Yeah.
All right, on that side, you're okay. That's like you've got 62 on my side.
You have 54 over here. There's some in the back, too.
You're all right. You're okay.
Mr. Lank, and what was the number, the total number that was given? We'll just put that in the record.
116.
Okay, thank you.
Plus or minus. Some have already left.
Okay, is there anyone else that would like to...
Yeah, that was all duplicated.
Is there anyone else, sir?
I had a PowerPoint presentation, but I see the infrastructure has disappeared. My name is Steve Britz.
You do have a PowerPoint?
You want a screen?
Mr. Guy is left.
I think in the interest of time.
All right.
Yeah. My figures are rather complex, though. Anyway, my name is Steve Britz. I'm representing Webb's Landing, a community of 34 homes along Love Creek. Bill Becker, our homeowners association president, has to work and is unable to attend today. My wife, Judy, and I have owned our home in Webb's Landing since 1995, and we are both biologists. More than 90% of Webb's Landing homeowners generally concur with the issues already raised. The RV campground proposes to be a large commercial operation entirely out of character with the surrounding communities. The infrastructure to support it is not there, and it will unavoidably damage valuable and irreplaceable ecological resources in an area under increasing pressure for development. I have two additional new points to bring up. The developers have provided inadequate time to examine their proposal. We overlooked the proposed campground from our backyard, which is less than 600 feet away. Yet we did not learn about it until a January 4th, 2013 article in the Cape Gazette. That's inexcusable. In particular, I want to highlight issues related to the unconfined Columbia Aquifer and its implication for the health of humans and the surrounding inland bays if the campground is built as planned. As you know, this aquifer is the source for almost all of the drinking water in Sussex County. Moreover, it provides most of the fresh water to Rehoboth Bay and its tributaries. And because it is not confined, meaning there's not an overlaying protective layer, it is susceptible to pollutants leaching into the groundwater, which in many cases is no more than 10 feet below ground surface. In fact, based on studies by the Delaware Geological Survey, a science-based state agency housed at the University of Delaware, the water table during wet periods is only 1 to 3 feet below ground level over large portions of the proposed campground. Depending on location, this high water band extends roughly 200 to 600 feet inland from the shores of both Love Creek and Hetty Fisher Glade. The width of the high water zone is only slightly reduced under normal moisture conditions. I submit as evidence a high-resolution map of the study area that I prepared using Digger, which is an online resource provided by the Delaware Geological Survey. And this will be part of the evidence. I don't expect you really to be able to see it, but it outlines the areas of differing distance to the water table in the study area. Now, areas where the water table is less than 3 feet below the surface are not recommended for construction, excavation, or heavy equipment. And I think the heavy equipment could extend to large RVs. Depending on the soil type, the use of pervious surfaces, which has been suggested as a way to ameliorate some of the runoff damage, the use of pervious surfaces may also not be recommended because of inadequate residence time of the pollutants in the underlying soil before they hit the groundwater. The sandy loams, which make up much of the land, probably facilitate rapid transit of whatever hydrocarbons or heavy metals will wash off of the parked vehicles. The proposed retention ponds will also be essentially direct conduits into the groundwater. Based on an additional study of the Delaware Geological Survey, the unconfined aquifer in the more or less triangular study area is blocked on the upstream side by an area where the aquifer is thin and where resistance to water flow is relatively high. That is transmissivity, which is the value that the Delaware Geological Survey presents, is low. You have to think of this like an electrical circuit. The potential water flow at one end and the movement through, that creates like the voltage. And the transmissivity, it would be the opposite, say, of electrical resistance. So when the transmissivity is low, there's resistance to flow. And because of soil features, the aquifer is thin in that area. Okay, so why is that important? And by the way, this assumes that general flow in the unconfined aquifer is in the direction of northwest to southeast, which is generally accepted as true. Now, the aquifer is bounded, though, on its other two sides by regions of lower resistance to groundwater flow, suggesting that pollutants entering the groundwater at the RV camp may travel relatively quickly to neighboring regions and waterways. That would be Love Creek and Hetty Fisher Glade, of course. So I submit as evidence in support of this contention, again, two high-resolution figures using I prepared using the Digger app online, which show the thickness of the unconfined aquifer and the transmissivity of the unconfined aquifer in that area. So I want to conclude by saying that I know that all members of the council have deep regard for the resources of Sussex County. In fact, I know that several members of the council farm. I'm an employee of the USDA. I know that farmers are stewards of the land and committed to preserve its bounty for succeeding generations. I also understand that members of the council are concerned about preserving property rights of landowners. I understand that totally. I would like to suggest that in this matter, that both property rights and resources will be preserved by not allowing the changes in zoning. So thank you for your attention.
Thank you. And if you can give the photos to Mr. Lang.
Sir, I'd like to have you sometime testify natural resources for me. This is my argument. I've been arguing that digging holes in stormwater ponds is putting the water that we're putting pollutants in the hole and putting it closer to our drinking water. You've made the perfect argument.
Well, I think it's...
I'd like to have you testify sometime. For
I'd be glad to do that.
Sam, get his number.
I'd like to have your
phone number. He's got your number. You get his number.
He's got your
I sent you an email.
He got about 800, so.
You woke him up.
Guarantee I didn't get an email from
you. That's right.
Yeah, Mike.
That's pretty good.
That's what I got before you, but you said yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, next speaker, please.
Right, get his telephone number.
I'll put it down.
Thanks, sir.
Go ahead, you can start, you can sign in later.
Okay, I'm Everett Beach, B-E-A-C-H, Plantations East. And for you who may not be aware of it, I am the president of the Homeowners Association. And as such, we're here representing a community of 379 homes. It's fronted by Plantations Road, just north of the intersection of Cedar Lane and, Postal Lane and Cedar Grove. And we support the presentations that were made previously by the representatives of the coalition. And lastly, I would like to say that as the senior member of the Beach family, we are opposed to this recreational park being close to the beaches. Thank you.
Thank you.
Double entendre. Very good.
Thank you.
Very good.
Good evening. I'm Betty Deacon. I live at 18201 Hickory Lane, Lewis, Delaware. I'm representing the Sandy Bray Homeowners Association of where I live. That's where I live. Sandy Bray is bounded by the businesses, the back of the businesses on Route 1, Postal Lane, and Plantation Road. And then right across from there is Cedar Grove Road. We have 254 homes. We were established in 1970, one of the first developments on the east side. There are four entrances into Sandy Bray, one off of Plantation Road, which is Cedar Drive, and the other three are on Postal Lane, beginning at Route 1, running down to Plantation Road. That's Linden, Maple, and Oak. I want to cover two major points, and I'm going to talk about traffic just a little bit, but the traffic in Sandy Bray is what I'm going to talk about, and I don't think we've discussed that. During the tourist season, Sandy Bray becomes a major cut-through for traffic that's tied up on Plantation Road and Postal Lane. Now, we know we're getting a light there. We know we're realigning the area. And I'm going to talk about what that's costing Sandy Bray also. So we have a lot of cut-throughs. People get angry. They're sitting there. It's hot. And even if there's a traffic light there, it's going to be tied up. It's not, the tie-up is not going to end. And if you throw in a couple of hundred RVs, we're going to have some kind of track on Plantation Road to park them in, too. They get angry. They come in, usually off of Postal Lane. And they come in through one of those entrances, and they're all over the place. They're speeding through our community. They cut over our lawns. If you come through the community, you can see where they've driven over the lawns. We do not have sidewalks in Sandy Bray, and we don't want sidewalks in Sandy Bray. We love the rural nature of our community, and we walk the roads and we ride our bikes. Therefore, on Saturdays during the tourist season, our residents are out walking and riding bikes on our roads in the development. I think the addition of these large RVs will only lead eventually to someone in our community being hit because they come through there at 40, 50 miles an hour. They've come past my home at that rate. The realignment of Postal Lane and Cedar Grove Road. Remember that Sandy Bray was built in 1970, it began. It was a different land use plan. There were different setbacks, I'm sure. A lot of our homes sit close to the road. 11 of our homeowners are being impacted with this realignment on Postal Lane and on Plantation Road. Sandy Bray originally was supposed to be a mobile home park. However, many of our residents were and are people who had lived here all their lives and wanted a permanent home. So they began constructing homes and moving in prefab. We have four sections. The original section has a lot of prefabs. The more you get into the other sections, you've got stick-built homes. Eight of our homeowners are losing permanent land, with one of them ending up with only 17 feet left on the side of his house on Postal Lane. There's more to come, we know. The construction is going to last about a year, and there's temporary easements for other property owners during this time, causing major disruptions to our community. If this RV park is approved, along with the proposed 1,400 that have already been approved, those dark blue marks there on that map add up to close to 1,400, there are going to have to be major road improvements and more taking of land from current residents in the future. If you recall, approximately, I think it was about 5 years ago, they wanted to make Plantation Road a four-lane road. It was going to be one of the Western Parkway alternatives. We fought that, and we backed it off for a while, but I see it rising back up again. If this RV park is approved, along with all those developments that have already been approved, and those large vehicles are on our roads, it's coming back to haunt us again. So I would suggest that maybe some of the folks who have been here for 40 years also have property rights. Please don't take any more of our land. Please vote against this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Chris Eggert, and I live in Retreat at Love Creek. And I had no intention of saying anything today, but as I was sitting there thinking, I thought, I really do need to talk about this. And this is related to economic impact. I've never been a financial officer. I'm a speech pathologist. Doesn't have anything to do with money in that respect. But I am a consumer. And when I think about economic impact, I'm not thinking about taxes necessarily, but I'm thinking about the health of small businesses and even medium and large businesses in this area. And I started jotting down since I moved here in June of 2010. And what I came up with is when I moved here, the first thing I did was, I think, have pretty big impact on small businesses. First of all, I bought shades. I bought window treatments. I negotiated for lawn care, that is mowing, fertilizing, landscaping, spent a fortune on that. Fencing, that's coming up. I got a dog and a cat. I have to have them groomed. I have to take them to the local vets. I have to have them babysat. I have handyman services. I go to a beauty salon, spend a lot of money there too. And also doctors. I go to an ophthalmologist. I bought glasses. The glasses have to be replaced in time. I've also not frequented, but I've visited your hospital at one time. I've gone to and had lab services conducted. I've also, unfortunately, had to have services at your funeral home. That also involved negotiating for a party, not a party, but having services rented and a banquet services involved in that. Also, I go shopping constantly in the food areas here, and I have to get gasoline, and the gasoline isn't just one time or two times. It's every week, and it's constant. So I just wanted to let you know that the economic impact is pretty profound when you're living here on a permanent basis. I've never had an RV. I don't know what it involves. I'm sure there's maintenance involved, and I'm sure that there's things that they have to do on a regular basis, but I don't think it has any we're near the impact of a person who's living here with a list, and this is certainly only partial. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're glad you're here.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. My name is Joanne Tramposh, and I live at 20482 Old Meadow Lane in Hart's Landing, and I'm speaking on behalf of Mona Schwartz, who is the treasurer of the Hart's Landing HOA. She was here previously, but she needed to leave to go to work. With the exception of less than a handful of homeowners in Hart's Landing, the community is against the development of this project due to its implications. And they've all been stated by the coalition that we had, so I will not restate them for the sake of time. But I do want to address a couple of points which are specific to the Hart's Landing community. Hart's Landing has one entrance on in and out of Route 24, and we're probably a half a mile east of Love Creek. The traffic comes not only from the east, as the developer states, but we have a lot of traffic coming from the west to go to the beach. In the summer, there are many days where the traffic is backed up 2 to 3 miles from Route 1 and Plantation Road going west, going eastbound. It can take us 7 to 10 minutes to get out of our development. If this project goes through, I can't imagine how long it'll take us to get out of Hart's Landing. Many people have to go westbound, find a way to turn around to go eastbound. We've requested a traffic light at our entrance because of this issue of getting in and out, and we've been denied by DelDOT. So if this project is approved...
What did they say?
They told us we can't have... We're not eligible for a light at our entrance.
They said no.
No, mm-hmm. They said no. Fridays and Sundays during the warm months and during the late afternoon time frame and in the morning, traffic is terrible already due to school traffic and just work-related traffic. We've had 2 accidents at our entrance, and one of them was clearly due to traffic and a driver being blinded by the traffic and was hit broadsided. We have grave concerns about safety related to the responsiveness of emergency services with ever-increasing traffic congestion. It'll clearly take longer for emergency vehicles to get around the area. As Jim Sullivan stated, we had 2 homes burned down in our development in the last year and a half. The fire department reacted quickly. The homes burned to the ground, and the homes adjacent had siding that was melted totally. With additional congestion, God knows how many more structures or people would be put in jeopardy. With so many more people at the potential RV park, a tremendous negative impact on our health and safety services will happen, particularly due to campfires and a bar encouraging liquor consumption directly adjacent to water. In addition to that, we will have creek traffic increase. The low water levels and narrow channels will cause boaters to get stuck and run aground. And my personal experience, and this is Joanne, not Mona's words, the bottom is not always sandy. It's murky and muddy, almost like quicksand. The very strong combination of winds and at times currents will cause inexperienced boaters to have difficulty navigating. Quick changing weather patterns can cause dangerous creek situations. 2 years ago, we were caught in a hailstorm, and thank God there were homeowners on the side of the creek who actually saved us. And I don't know how true this is, but they said by law they're required to help boaters in distress. So with 600 sites in an RV park, with this small creek, with skidoos and canoes and kayaks, I think that may increase the work of not only the emergency workers, but the people that live on Love Creek. We don't believe the creek is big enough to accommodate the increased traffic created by a large resort, and it'll cause us homeowners who use the creek now not to use it due to traffic. Lastly, noise pollution. Sound travels loudly by the creek today, and adding an amphitheater, a bar, and campsites so close to the homes in Hart's Landing on and adjacent to the creek will severely increase the noise levels. Overall, this proposal will have nothing but negative impact on our residents from the point of view of child safety, traffic, response time of critical services, coastal environment, finances, and general quality of life. The only positive impact will be the bottom line of the developers. We, the board, and the overwhelming majority of residents in Hart Landing very strongly oppose the RV City proposal. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Now, is there anyone else that would like to speak on a new issue?
Come on down.
There's one hand. Oh, there's a gentleman here. I'm sorry. And there's someone towards the back. If they want to speak, if they move up towards the front, please.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity to address you. I'm a homeowner in Sandy Bray.
We need your name and address, please.
Oh, sorry. Josh Miller. I live in Sandy Bray. I know you don't want a recap of all the stuff expressed, but
amen.
I did wait hours to speak, so I'd just like to say a little bit. What the last lady said, I really... that's what I perceive. I don't personally know the applicant, but it just seems that this is so bad for so many people that it's just the motive of his own financial gain, you know, to do this. I am really concerned about, you know, this large, like has been pointed out, a whole new, it's like another city being put west of Lewis. And you know, I guess it's within the Lewis city limits, but you know what I mean. It's right there. And we don't know who these people are. You know, I used to be a teacher, and I'm really concerned about, you know, child safety and, you know, also concerned about the safety of ladies living alone. You know, we don't know people coming in this way, you know, transient population, how many of them, you know, our rapists and child molesters. I'm not, yeah, it's just a concern, you know. We don't know who they are. They're not registered here. Like, residents who live here have to register as sex offenders if they've been convicted of those crimes. And the police can monitor them. But they're going to be near Beacon Middle School and other, these communities that have lots of children. And I'm sorry if this offends, you know, some people to bring this out, but it wasn't specifically brought out, and I do think it's a real risk, since the police aren't aware, you know, of the backgrounds of these people. You know, we just don't know. Whereas, thankfully, one of the reasons I was wanted to live in Lewis is it's a pretty low amount, you know, that are there, but we have people coming from all over here. And I guess what I wonder is, will anybody that's working with Lingo Asset Management, whether it's Mr. Hammonds or one of the other employees, be conducting any kind of background investigation on those who wish to come stay at the RV City, you know, like a criminal record check, for example? And I brought up just the most heinous, you know, concerns of women and children maybe being hurt. But also, you know, what about people with a background of, you know, burglary and robbery? You know, we know there's been an increase in home invasion robberies. And again, with no criminal background check being done, they could, while driving through, like Ms. Deacon pointed out, trying to get through traffic, people of a criminal mindset, you know, might say, oh, that's a nice house over there. I don't see any cars there. And, you know, they get thoughts of robbing certain homes. And with them only being here a short time, by the time the police might solve such a crime, they could be long gone. The other concerns, I want to, out of respect to what you said, I don't want to go through them all again, but I just...
Yeah, it's okay to say ditto.
Yeah. Okay. Ditto. You know, I have the same concerns. I agree with what Mrs. Schreiner Fox expressed. I think she made some excellent points. And, you know, as I've indicated, I don't feel that the applicant, this developer, really cares about our well-being and safety, and I hope that you all do. And please consider that, you know, the interests of, you know, thousands of homeowners versus the financial interests of one family. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
William Payne, I'll try to make this short. 150 Heather Drive, Lewis Post Office.
Thank you, Mr. Payne.
Complete, you can pass those over. That's not, they're not complete. Basically, two things that came out in my mind that the developer was talking about was the porosity of the soil, how good it was. That's been covered. The other items I'd like to talk about is he mentioned the retreat at Love Creek that you approved, even though there was objections. I'll speak on that a little later, but that's you did approve it, but it was with reservations and a setback. I am against the proposal. Changing the zoning law to allow a density-built RV campground within the environmentally sensitive area where irreparably stressed to the ecosystem of Love Creek. Cuttier Forest is the highest level of stress to streams and creeks. The riverine wetlands received a mark of D from the wetland health report put out this very recently. This report also shows that additional buffers are needed along tidal wetlands because the wetlands move inland as the tide rises, which we'll have to deal with in Sussex County. Furthermore, it shows that groundwater carrying the pollutants are filtered through the wetlands before going downstream. This was covered very well. Enclosed in there are a bunch of photographs of the wildlife along the buffer at the retreat in Love Creek. Lawrence has the photos, and there'll be one more copy of that. These are photos of in the area of the buffer that you established at the retreat of Love Creek. And I believe it is working. And I want to say, I think this is a successful event that you made a wider buffer. You asked the retreat to move back past the tree line so to preserve this buffer. This was back about 400 feet from the creek in most of the area along the retreat. And I think this should be carried out throughout any other development along Love Creek. Also, in this area, there was recently a field of horn pine weed was discovered. They're trying to reestablish grasses in the inland bays. Now, if you look at the one item there, the photos that I gave you, because some of this material was covered before. The photo that I gave you, if you look up in the right-hand corner of it, you will see the retreat of Love Creek. You will see the wide buffer that's there that seems to be working. And this is also the area that the grass is in. So I am requesting that council denies the zoning charge. I also ask that you continue requiring the wide buffer along tidal waters of Love Creek as you did in the retreat of Love Creek.
How wide?
Pardon?
How wide are you talking about?
It's over 400 feet. If you look at the photo I gave you, on the bottom side of it is 200 feet.
Yes.
This is my lot. I mentioned this before to planning and zoning. They didn't seem to care where my lot was, but it's important because I know that's 200 feet, and on the other side is at least 400 feet.
Thank you.
And it seems to be working. I thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? I see a lady here coming up in the center.
Here, a couple back there, gentlemen over here.
Get up closer, and then you can come. I'm telling them back there. Not
oh, I thought you wanted
no,
me to
no,
come
no,
over
no,
there.
No. Yeah, you can get closer.
Thanks.
Sure. We want to look in the eye.
My name is Patricia Warden. I'm from Briarwood, 9 Deerfield Drive, and I'm reading testimony for Dr. William Zack. He is my neighbor, and because of circumstances, he could not be here today. Bill was one of the founding members of the committee for the Citizens Advisory for the Center of the Inland Bays. He's very much in opposition to this, as most of the members of Briarwood are, except for one person that we know of that was hurt earlier. This may be, and I'm sorry, you may have heard some of this before, but some of the information is different, and it's mainly concerned with the ecological impact. Just north of the Lingo Townsend development proposed at Love Creek and its tributary, Hetty Fisher Glade, is one of the only spots on the tidal rivers feeding the inland bays where submerged aquatic grasses are presently flourishing, a reliable sign of a thriving tidal waterway. The reason is not far to see. The creek at that point upstream is buffered by considerable woodland acreage on both sides of the water, some of which is the woodland conservation area set aside when the retreat at Love Creek was approved for development several years ago. The story downstream is of development that has occurred helter-skelter along the creek banks for decades. And the proposed Lingo development will only worsen the situation. According to the Center for the Inland Bays 2011 State of the Bays report, the two test sites on Love Creek found water quality there among the more degraded among the bay's tributaries. The creek's shallow waters exhibited bacterial contamination, low levels of dissolved oxygen in the summer, excessive algal growth, and substandard water clarity. Between 1998 and 2008, levels of nitrogen loading were consistently well in excess of acceptable standard and trending upward, with nitrogen well above total maximum daily load, TMDL limits, every year between 2006 and 2010. The decimation of 160 acres of woodland that this project calls for and its replacement with many, many acres of impervious and nearly impervious surfaces will make a bad situation at Love Creek terribly worse. The state planners who reviewed the project proposal declared in the PLUS report that such intensive development in this location is unsuitable. That's on page 19. And urged that, given its previous identification as a portion of the Love Creek natural area, the plot be set aside for permanent preservation. Their reasons were based on the variety of wetland environments throughout the property, the likely presence of several state-designated endangered species, and the woodland's value for migrating birds. But water quality degradation and bay health likewise warn against development on such an outlandish scale so near these sensitive waters. Cleared woodlands can generate as much as 4 times the nutrient runoff as forested floor. The developers assure us that they will keep as much forested cover as proves practicable, but the site plans give no reason for optimism about this promise. I live in Briarwood, a 58-acre development with three named streets and just over 70 homes, just south of the Lingo site across Hetty Fisher Glade. On just 2.5 times that acreage, the proposed RV camp will include 27 paved roads, measured intersection to intersection, three substantial parking lots associated with the community buildings, welcome center, general store, amphitheater, dock bar, several pool complexes, plus 516 40-foot wide RV sites, 82 cabins, each with two parking spaces, as well as a 59-acre RV storage field. Each 40-foot wide RV lot advertises a 10-foot paved parking pod, 10 foot of stone, and a 4-foot bump-out clearance. With the further clearances necessary for maneuvering the RVs into the pods, what's really left for anything that could remotely be called anything but modest landscaping? Considering parking lots and parking spaces, roads, public buildings, the roof areas on cabins and RVs, just 59 acres of stored RVs, we are speaking about a massive amount of impervious surface replacing previously undisturbed woodland. In his response to the PLUS report's request to install 100-foot buffers along the waterways, the developer has called for installing the legal minimum of 50 feet. This approach to bend the rules is also seen when the developer provides no specifics in how he plans to meet the pollution control strategy, PCS, requiring 40% reductions in nitrogen and phosphorus loading into surrounding waters. The developer instead proposes using by a combination of traditional wet basins where they plan to rent paddle boats to campers and some unnamed green technologies. Unfortunately, there is no mention of adhering to the state's preference for providing rain gardens as a superior form of stormwater management to traditional holding basins. Because of years of exceeding the total maximum daily load of nitrogen, Love Creek is included in the area's nutrient reduction zone, wherein no new nutrient pollution is any longer allowed by federal law. Doesn't the applicant have a burden of proof, not merely vague assurances, that he can and will comply with the stipulation of the Federal Clean Water Act? I have lived in view of the Hetty Fisher Glade for over 10 years now. The waters in it, even very near its confluence with Love Creek, are so shallow that at low tide it is little more than exposed mud flats, with just a 15 to 20-foot rill of running water at its center. At such times, canoe and kayak access is impossible, let alone any less modest watercraft. Even at high tide, this minor tributary, one fork of which bisects the proposed development, and the other forms of southern boundary could not tolerate heavy human encroachment without significant desecration. The proposed makes no sense from an environmental and business perspective. As a result of all these concerns, I ask you to reject the zoning and land use requests for this project and stop it before it has a chance to devastate Love Creek and the area environment. Respectfully, Bill Zach.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And if anyone has something in writing that they want to introduce, you can simply give that to Mr. Lank. It does become part of the record at that point. Okay, is there anyone else that would like to speak on a new matter? Yes.
On a new matter. Mm-hmm. I heard that.
Hi, my name is Heather Gray. I live at 16 Deerfield Drive in Lewis, Delaware, in Briarwood Estates. I am also a licensed realtor in the state of Delaware. I have been working in real estate in Sussex County and parts of Kent County since 2000. My primary area of business is the Lewis-Rehoboth area. I do also sell a lot of real estate in the Bethany, Fenwick, and Selbyville areas. I can say in my years of experience, there are three things that people ask not to live by or have views of. One of them is views of trailer parks. The other one is chicken farms, and they also don't want to live on a busy road. I have recalling clients I have helped in the past. I've shown them properties in neighborhoods like Kings Creek Country Club that backs to Sierra Mobile City. And I've had people say, I'm not going to spend $600,000-$700,000 to look at a bunch of trailers. The former Three Seasons Campground, which is now the Seasons Community, my team sold two places in the Seasons this year, so I'm familiar with that transition. Down in the along Delaware Seashore State Park, where there are the RV sites, that can be another difficult area to sell a higher-end home because people are driving through an area with campers to get to a residential area. So I, you know, can speak on that. I have a lot of familiarity with real estate in the area. And the price range I work in is really the 250 to 700 is my bread and butter. I also do sell a lot of mobile homes. I sell farmland. I know a lot of people in the area, and I am privileged to have made a great living selling real estate in our great county. I have a neighbor here, Ann Mastrodome. She recently purchased a home in Briarwood in 2011. She purchased on the water. She is one of the closest home sites to the proposed campground, and I can tell you, if that campground was in place now, she would never have bought that home in Briarwood. So I thank you for your time, and I'd like to speak, you know, for my husband and myself. We would really like to not see a campground in our backyard. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Sir, you've been waiting patiently.
My name is Dan Himmelfarb. I live in Webb's Landing, 222 Waterford Drive, my wife and I. I had a house in Angola for 30 years that I built or longer. So this is my retirement home. My wife and I have invested, I don't mind saying it, over $605,000 when I bought the property 5 years ago. Okay. Lady spoke earlier about using local places to buy things. Well, I spent $300,000 on material through the local suppliers. I have $900,000 in my house. I don't mind that at all. I knew I had overbuilt for the neighborhood, but this was for my future. This was for my retirement. This was for my grandchildren. And I bought there because I love Delaware. I love Lewis. And the site was magnificent, and I paid dearly for it. And I have no qualms with that. But as the lady who just spoke before me was a realtor, I don't have a snowball's chance, and you know what? To duck and run, I'm too heavy into it. And I don't want to duck and run. I want to live here. I want to retire here. I've been a contractor for 45 years. I've run a successful business for over that in a construction field, and I know what happens when this type of situation comes in. People want to run when they see townhouses. Well, townhouses are fine. Single-family houses are fine. I don't think there's anybody in here that has a problem with single-family homes, townhomes, MPDU units, okay? But when you start throwing trailers, and that's what they are, motorhomes, trailers, I've got a Class B license, I can drive commercial vehicles, I've had all kind of motorhomes, I've had all kind of RVs, and I love them all. Do I want that in my backyard? No. Does anybody else want it in their backyard? No. So I respectfully say, so I don't have to waste any more of your time, it's a very serious issue, and being the chairman of the architectural committee, we take our association very, very seriously. We try to monitor and help each other, and by putting that monumental mess in, is not going to help anybody. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Back here. Is there anyone else that would like to speak?
Oh, here she comes. Okay. Here she comes. There's a guy in the back.
Okay, the person in the back, if you can move forward, please, so we're right ready to go.
Yes. My name is Janet Dorman. I live on Dorman Farm Lane off of Mulberry Knoll Road. And I have a different spin on this. Our family farm borders this proposal by way of Hetty Fisher Glade. which is my husband's great-grandmother. And my big concern, our concern, is being property owners and having this proposal come in, we're worried about people filtering through and trespassing. So, and we had had a conversation with Bill Lingo about putting up a perimeter fence to keep unwanted people from accessing our property. They say Hetty Fisher Glade, they can't cross it. We know they can because in different places we've done it. So that's my concern. If they're going to approve this, if you are intending to do that, to make that a condition, to have a perimeter fence, not something to keep people from coming in the front that don't belong, but having the people in there coming through the backside. And that's basically my position.
Okay.
You have
Thank hunting. You much.
You have hunting on your land too, don't you? Was that hunting a problem?
Excuse me?
Was hunting going to be a problem, did you think?
Well, we're outdoor people. I have horses, and my husband is a hunter.
Yeah.
And that will pose a problem on the backside because you have to have distance.
Okay.
You have to have distance, yeah. So, yes, that'll
reduce.
Yeah.
Do you use chicken manure when you fertilize?
No, I use good old horse manure.
If you would start, you probably wouldn't have their problem.
You're probably right. If we had a pig farm there, maybe they wouldn't put it there. That's true.
Thank you.
I'm not suggesting that.
Yeah, thank you. And the person that was moving up towards
the
front.
Right here. Here it goes.
Okay, come on up, please.
Can you show her some chicken manure? That's a good idea, George. You got the darnest good ideas.
Yes, you can go ahead, sir.
Sign that afterwards.
Go ahead.
Sir, you can go ahead while she's signing in.
All right, I am Dave Racine. Both my daughter and I own homes in the immediate vicinity of the proposed RV city. I have camped in other RV grounds, and I believe an RV city in Sussex County could be successful and serve many visitors. But I don't believe the infrastructure is now in place to handle an RV city on the banks of Love Creek. Like any future development, it must be planned for in advance and placed where there is an adequate infrastructure to support it without causing destructive interruption of the existing residents of the area. Some years ago, you, the county council, spent much time, effort, and our money to establish a comprehensive zoning and development plan to allow controlled growth without undue burden to or disturbance to the residents of the county. And now you're being asked to ignore that plan so that one developer can profit at the expense of the county residents. The developer is proposing a city in a delicate and environmentally sensitive area designed and planned for single-family homes. And the infrastructure to support a city is just not in place. I have a very personal concern as to how the developer plans to provide adequate sewer and water facilities for this project. Water consumption to this city could conservatively reach maybe 200,000 gallons of water a day, and it's going to come from wells right under the property. And the developer has stated that he would hook into the West Rehoboth Sewer District. Well, I'm pleased and proud to have served for several years on the engineering design and construction of the West Rehoboth Sewer. This council carefully and conscientiously planned for that system and established the extent and zoning for the district. And in 2007, expanded that district without any real enlargement of the sewer facilities. George Miles and Buer engineered, designed, and controlled the construction of the project to properly serve the planned district. But there have been constant increases allowed to the zoning density within the district, and I believe it's to the extent that the West Rehoboth facilities are rapidly approaching the 50-year design of the system. The proposed site for this RV city is well outside the planned district, and I believe that developments outside the existing district will overwhelm the current capacity of the West Rehoboth sewer and should not be accepted into the district. You council members were elected to serve the people of Sussex County, to establish rules and control growth, to plan and develop an infrastructure to support those plans before the growth chokes us all. I believe it's the duty of this council to hold fast to the established zoning and plans that you installed to control this development and growth in the county. And I urge you to vote against this zoning and land use changes that are requested by the RV City developer. Thank you.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like
to... Do you have a
comment? Anyone else that would like to speak? Seeing none, is there anyone else who'd like to speak?
Yeah, fine.
Seeing none at this point, Mr. President, the public hearing is closed. And as you know, on both of the applications, Planning and Zoning did not make a recommendation. So it is mandated that we have to defer ourselves. However, they did hold a public record open specifically concerning the traffic impact issue. And if the council desires, we could do the same.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to also, Mr. President, ask maybe some other things. I heard part of the testimony led us to believe possibly that there's some things that the land use plan or in our ordinances don't provide for, like cabins. Are they permitted or are they not permitted, Lawrence, and stuff like that? So if you could maybe give us a report on... With this application, is there any parts of it that are not in compliance with our current plans and ordinance? And I think we're asking for DelDOT. Now, DelDOT supposedly, again, my understanding from the testimony was, they're only looking at it from one side and not the other direction. So maybe we might want to ask DelDOT if there's a need. In other words, just respond why they didn't do it from the other direction. If they may come back and say it's not necessary because of this. So I think we need to find that out. And then also the referencing to the tax base and the revenue from campgrounds, et cetera, and RV parks in the county. We did have that analysis from our staff, which I think was referenced in the opposition used it or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a copy of that. So if anybody wants a copy of that, we got that. But Lawrence, could you give us a list of or provide with us the revenue from some other campgrounds, basically just tax revenue currently what we receive, so we get an idea of what.
Get it from assessment.
Pardon me?
I had to get it from assessment.
Right, get it from assessment. If you could provide us with maybe just in the coastal eastern part of the county. Doesn't have to be the whole county, but just to give us a perspective of what we're looking at when they talked about, and I think one guy had a pretty good presentation on the tax issue and the revenue generated and how it helps the county and the tax base, et cetera, et cetera. So those, I would like to leave the record open for those issues also.
What you requested.
Right, because it was brought up and I thought there weren't answers for that.
Okay.
And here's a copy of anybody who wants that analysis.
As Everett said, we will close the public hearing and we'll leave the public record open for the information that Mr. Cole has requested and for the traffic impact study from DelDOT to be submitted. Anything else, Mr. Moore?
Yes, I believe it would be appropriate. Normally, you make a motion to defer on those.
Yes,
items.
Yes.
Can I make a motion? I'll get it.
Lawrence, you got that. In that case, then we'll entertain a motion to defer. Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion?
No. And that is for change of zone 1725 first.
Mm-hmm.
You want two separate motions?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. Right. From 1725.
Any questions on that motion?
No.
Thank you. Vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Hang on a minute.
You okay, George? You
ready? Yes, I'm, you, okay. I'm cleaning house.
Popping things up there. I want to get you messed up.
You get so excited.
Where's Chip?
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
You ready?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm a yes. Vote yes.
And the second motion would be conditional use number 11951.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
119. Isn't that too many numbers? 11951.
I'm just reading.
1951.
1951.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Motion, Mr. Phillips. Yes. Second, Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Any question on the motion?
No.
Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Both items are deferred.
Home,
entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Phillips. Second, Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Any question on the motion?
No.
Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. We're adjourned. Thank you for your time.